Tweet at TodaySOR.
Brendan Boland was an 11-year-old altar boy when he first met Father Brendan Smith, and the priest started abusing him. When he was 14, Brendan plucked up the courage to report the abuse to a young priest. He was then questioned before a group of priests and was sworn to secrecy. After the interrogation, Brendan and his parents trusted that the church would stop Brendan Smith. They didn't, and 20 years later, living in England, Brendan discovered that Smith had continued to abuse children for many years. Well, he has just published his book, Sworn to Silence, his memoir of his own experiences, and he joins me now on the line from London. Brendan, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning. It's an extraordinary book, Sworn to Silence. It really brings back the horror of Brendan Smith and indeed of the church's reaction to finding out what he'd been doing. Can you talk to me about how Brendan Smith first, if you like, infiltrated your family? How did he gain the trust of your parents and yourself?
Well, the first was I was serving a mass in the Church of the Redeemer in Dundalk, and he was officiating at the wedding. And then the wedding was over, and he asked if I knew anywhere he could get a cup of tea. So I brought him down to my mother. I knew she wouldn't mind bringing a priest in. So he came down to the house, and he came in, and my mother made tea, and they were delighted to have the priest come to visit the house, because it was always an honour to have a priest. It wasn't just me he actually groomed my mother and father as well. He had really won their trust as well as mine.
And Brendan, in the book, when you describe the first incident of abuse with Smith, there was another boy present. You're kind of abused one after the other, but you weren't entirely sure that it was wrong at that point. You knew it was strange, but you didn't know that it was bad because you trusted priests.
That's exactly right. The feeling was wrong. The whole thing didn't feel right. And then I went away and I said, but it must be right. He's a priest. You know, you trusted him that much. And even though it really felt wrong, I said, it must be right, though. That's the attitude that I had towards it.
And after it began, it was remarkable, the audacity of Brendan Smith. Talk to me about how he would manage to victimise you, if you like, or to continue to abuse you in plain sight in many ways.
That's right. He used to come to the house, and I'd be upstairs doing my homework. On one instant, I was upstairs doing my homework, and he came into the house, and he told my parents, sure, I'll go up and I'll help him. Well, he came upstairs, and right above the sitting room in my bedroom, he abused me there, and my parents downstairs. And he continued to do it in any way, shape, or form he could find. He used to ask me to serve Mass at the convent out in Mount Oliver for the nuns, and he'd pull over in the car down laneways, and any opportunity he got, he used.
What was it then that enabled you to highlight the abuse? You told another priest initially, wasn't it?
I did, yeah. I got to the stage where I had turned 14, and I was beginning to become aware of things that were happening like around me. And the last time it happened, I was second. There was another boy, Belfast boy, was in the same room as him. And I was in the bed waiting. It was like a cow waiting to be slaughtered. And I said to myself, this is not going to happen anymore. This is the last time this is going to happen. And after it happened, I went home, and I was in a youth club. And Father Oliver McShane ran the youth club. And he used to say, if anybody's got any problems, come and talk to me. Well, it took me 3 weeks to pick up the courage to actually say it to him. And eventually, when I did say it to him, he took me home and he explained it to my parents.
And was that the end of the abuse at that point?
That was the last time that I was abused. Yeah, because very quickly after that, Father McShane alerted the Norbertine Order and Bishop of Kilmore. So then there was a meeting called to discuss what happened.
Your parents were horrified. I mean, just tell me how they reacted when they found out what Brendan Smith had been doing.
The first time when Father McShane came down to the house, my mother had a visitor, one of the neighbours were in having tea or whatever, and my father was in the sitting room. So Father McShane told my dad, and he started crying, and he ran out to the back garden and got sick, physically sick. It was terrible to see.
And it's almost, Brendan, in the book, as if that is the first chapter. It's the actual abuse that Smith himself perpetrated on you. But the next chapter of abuse began after you had told Oliver McShane what had happened. You were called to a meeting. Tell me about that meeting.
Well, the meeting was in the Friary in Dundalk, and my father came up with me, and we knocked on the door, and we were escorted into this hallway. And my father was told to sit in one room, and I was taken into another room. But there was three priests in all. Father McShane was there, and then there was a Father Francis Donnelly from Dundalk, and there was another priest, and I didn't know who he was at the time, but we later found out that he was Father John Brady, who is now the Cardinal.
You say that Cardinal Sean Brady was there, present during the questioning. The nature of that questioning, I mean, that's one thing that's really extraordinary in the book, is that you have some transcripts of the types of questions that they asked you, a 14-year-old boy. Tell me about your own memories of that interview.
My own memories of the interview is just a feeling of fear. And these two priests, I had Father McShane was beside me as my witness, and then these two priests, Father Donnelly and Father Brady. But it was very intimidating. And I was sitting on a stool, they were sitting on big chairs, and then asking questions. Now, my memory of the questions of that day, I had no recollection of most of them. It's only when later on, when I got documents discovered for my court case, that I found out the transcript of the questions they asked me. The questions they asked were most inappropriate, like, did you enjoy this? Did you ever do this with any other man or boy? If not, why not? Did you enjoy it? They were almost insinuating that I instigated the abuse and that I enjoyed it.
The other key thing there was that you named other children who you believed to be at risk from Father Brendan Smith. I mean, this is the real crux of the matter from modern day times. Is those names were made available to the three people there, including Cardinal Sean Brady. What happened?
Well, what happened was I gave him the names and addresses, actually. And a couple of days later, he went over to Cavan and I refer to him as Cavan Boy. He took him out of classroom and he questioned him without even telling his parents. Now, the only reason I can think of that is he just wanted to verify my story to see if I was telling the truth. But I mean, he didn't even go to tell this Cavan Boy's mum and dad. And to this day, his parents never knew.
What happened was that some of them went on to be abused for many more years.
Yes, the Belfast boy, which was the boy that was with me on the last time that I was abused, he continued to be abused for a year, plus his sister for a few years after that, and four of his cousins were abused for 5-6 years later after that. And that's, I just can't get my head around why he had the information to go to their parents, even if he didn't go to the Garda at the time. The least he could have done was tell the parents so that they could put a stop to what was going on.
After you told people about Brendan Smith's abuse, you would seem to have been handling things quite well. You grew up, you moved to England, you got married, you had children. It was later when you discovered that actually Brendan Smith had gone on to abuse so many more children, when this all kind of came out in the 90s, that things came back and hit you like a sledgehammer again.
That's right. It was in 1994 when a documentary on, I think it was on Ulster Television, Suffer Little Children. And my sister said that she watched it, and there was a Father Smith was part of the documentary, and that he was still abusing. And I couldn't believe it. So she sent it to me. It hit me like a bus. And I just realised the church have done nothing. They've just moved him around, and he's been abusing for that past 20 years. I couldn't believe it.
And Brendan, was that a combination of kind of anger with the church, but you also seem to blame yourself that you hadn't actually succeeded in preventing the abuse of these other children?
Well, yes, that was my first thought, that I didn't do enough, because these children, some of the children weren't even born at the time. I'm in contact with one of the girls now, and she wasn't even born. Her dad is my age. It's just incredible. I can't get my head around it, you know. And then the first time I met her, I was apologising to her that it should never have happened to her, you know. And it's just the feeling that I carry around with me.
Do you still feel guilty?
I do, yeah. I do. It's a very hard feeling to get rid of.
Now, you went on to sue the church. Do you think, you know, it was finding out really that they hadn't responded to you that caused you to sue the church rather than the initial abuse? Just tell me about that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The reason I sued the church was because I hadn't been abused after 1975. And the reason I sued the church was they did nothing. The issue wasn't about my abuse, you're right. It was about them failing to stop Father Smith. When my court case, when they settled with me in 2010, I made a victim impact statement, and my solicitor said that there was a journalist wanted to speak to me. He was doing a documentary about the church in Ireland, and would I speak to him? So I said, no, I've been battling with the church now for 14 years, I'm finished. As far as I'm concerned, it's all over with. And then 2 days later, in the Irish Independent, I think it was, there was a correction to my statement by Cardinal Sean Brady, and it said, I did not make Brendan Boland sign an oath of secrecy. So I couldn't believe what I was reading, and the reason I did it was I wanted to clear my name, because I know if I was a citizen in Ireland and I read that, I would believe Cardinal Brady, and that's the reason why I did the documentary. I phoned my solicitor and asked him for the journalist's name.
It's extraordinary. I mean, I'm looking at the thing you signed here. It says, the truth, and that I will talk to no one about this interview except authorised priests. I can see your signature, Brendan Boland, and underneath, John B. Brady. That's 29th of March 1975. So, I mean, it was there in black and white. So it was that anger with Cardinal Brady at that point, refuting what you had said. Now, he did say he wanted to apologise to you in person. Did that happen?
No, he did. He did offer a personal apology, but I think he got it wrong. I didn't want a personal apology. I wanted a public apology for all the children that were abused after 1975. But he was under the impression that I wanted a personal apology. It wasn't nothing like that. But he did invite me to go to R. Shirley and to apologise to me, but I didn't want to do that, and I'd never do that. It would make me feel like a little altar boy all over again, where he's in control. He's good when he's in control of things, but I'd feel uncomfortable.
Now, Cardinal Brady has said that his role has been exaggerated somewhat, and that he was really there that night of your interview to take notes. Do you accept that at all?
No, I don't accept it at all. It's all down in his handwriting, the questions and the answers. And there's another document that he has signed, and he actually states that he was dispatched to investigate the complaint. So he's, in his own handwriting, he's written down, I was dispatched to investigate the complaint. I think he should step down. He should have stepped down back then, but it's coming near his retirement now, which is in the 16th of August, I think. He turned 75. And for him to just retire naturally, it means he's got away with it again. He needs to step down and let people know that admit that he's wrong, that he was wrong. And admit to his failings.
And the fact that he hasn't, and that he hasn't been forced to do so, what does that say to you about the church's attitude to you and the subsequent victims of Brendan Smith?
Well, it's all part of the cover-up, and it's more abuse. It's more abuse, and it's part of more cover-up. It's just, if they just stand up and just admit that they were wrong, they won't.
And Brendan, finally, can I ask you, I mean, obviously your family had very, very strong faith. Do you still have faith? Are you still a part of the Catholic Church at all?
Oh, I have faith. I believe in God. I pray. But I find it very difficult to actually trust any of the clergy, any priest from the bottom to the top. Still, I still can't trust any of them. I've had loads of problems with priests.
OK, well, Brendan, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.